it's our...
It's game time.
Quiet, please. I am analyzing.
That's it, man. Game over, man. It's game over.
Is the next step the transplantation of the human brain?
Ballsy. Stupid, but ballsy.
Stand by for action.
Welcome to the party, pal.
Okay.
Remember, we're not dealing with an intelligence on our own level.
Bring in the logic probe!
Ooh.
End of line.
Welcome back to Gamers Haven Podcast, Possibly Reloaded. This is Jeremy, and I'm joined by my trusty sidekicks and friends.
Sidekicks? How are you guys doing? When were we downgraded to sidekicks?
Well, when you told me to do the lead-in,
Oh. That's
what happens.
Okay. So, well, up until this time, you guys have been my sidekicks?
Pretty much.
Well, Nathan agreed. That's enough for me. That's a 2/3 majority.
That does work. So, this is Gamers Haven Podcast Reloaded. We've been missing in action for how many months now?
Three.
At least three. So, for all of you out there that's on the internet, that's forever.
Yes. In the internet, that is forever. Right.
That is forever.
Yeah. Every trend has changed.
Yes. I believe that we now have space travel, and we visited Mars.
Yes.
And... there are now robots.
Mars is the only planet inhabited entirely by robots right now.
That is true. Actually, that is a true fact.
So, we're on our way.
We are. So, now that we're back, and we are going to hopefully stick around and not disappear into the ether. I just want to say,
I guarantee
hello, everyone.
You just want to say hello, everyone?
I just want to say hello, everyone. And that was it. That was our reloading. We're done. We're out.
Thank you. Good night.
Good night.
We are doing this over Skype because of various relocations. I had to move a little bit farther into Kansas City, and Nathan is more or less homebound right now. I mean, more or less.
We're looking for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk about these changes. You know, our lives and our podcast and our gaming, everything has grown up. And that's part of the reason we've disappeared. And I think that is a good place to somewhat start. We are over Skype. That probably will downgrade our quality. I also find it funny that the picture in my upper right hand corner keeps changing. I do not have a camera yet, so they just see the picture of the little wizard so far. But what have we all been doing? Ethan, you moved.
Yes, I moved. My wife and I moved over to Kansas City, Missouri. We're still picking up the pieces from that and excavating ourselves from the mountain of stuff that we had accumulated. Because good Lord, we have a lot of crap. Noah's still with us. We moved in with some additional friends of ours, sort of help ourselves financially. And sort of the big reason for that is we needed more space for less money. Predominantly because, Beth and I are expecting our second child, which we have discovered about 2 weeks ago that it is boy. So we're going to have a matched set. It'll be all good. We have another bun in the oven, and Arya has turned a year old. She's starting to walk, albeit sporadically. We essentially just needed to change from the living situation that we had to pay less money for more space and be able to actually accommodate another child, because on top of all that, Noah and his girlfriend Liz are also expecting. So ours is the house of children now. So
Mazel tov.
Yes, Mazel tov to Noah, who is currently not with us because he is dressed up as a baby on Twitch, trying to raise money for said Noah spawn.
So we sent him,
and I saw the picture.
Yeah.
So he's
it's
not
scary.
It is scary. I am a bit horrified. Has no hair,
mm-hmm.
or eyebrows. Which
he looks like Uncle Fester.
He looks like what?
He looks like Uncle Fester.
He does. But we'll get into that, I think. Maybe. I don't know. Anyway, Nathan, so you've been away. You are away. What has been going on with you?
I was diagnosed 2 days after my birthday with Lyme disease. I contracted it from a tick bite while mowing my yard in early July.
Happy birthday!
Thanks. Wasn't that a wonderful birthday present? Happy birthday, by the way, you have Lyme disease. But it was a tick bite that I saw not only a clinic doctor, but my actual doctor about, and asked both of them to be tested for Lyme disease, and they both told me it was not possible, so they wouldn't test me. It took 2 emergency room visits with something being seriously wrong and not being able to find out what was going on for to get a doctor that went, well, I doubt you have it, but we'll run the test anyways. It's not expensive. So if I hadn't encountered that doctor in the emergency room that was like, yeah, sure, I guess we'll test it. I mean, you don't have it. We still wouldn't know what was wrong with me, and I would probably be getting progressively sicker.
Right.
So they put me on doxycycline. And I'm supposed to be on it for 3 months, but I started having problems with it. So they moved me over to amoxicillin with clavulanic acid, and immediately reacted badly to that. So they're switching me over to something else, and I haven't got it yet. So it's just been a nightmare, and all the medication they've got me on is making me have fine motor tremors. So I'm in bad shape.
Yeah, which is another reason why we're over Skype. It is making it easier for us to record.
Yes.
But as time goes on, we are hoping that we will figure out this recording at a distance thing, and we will make it work one way or another. So, well, I've been just mostly busy with work. I've had a few games here and there, but mostly work. I've done a few things with trying Weight Watchers again. That's not really game related, but you know, it's still part of life. No horrible diseases and no parasites growing in my wife's stomach. So,
or your stomach.
Yay! Or my stomach. That's so. I guess I'm of the neutral.
We all saw that Cosby Show episode.
So I guess the kind of the thing that we've got here is life has happened, both good and bad and neutral, and part of the thing with that is obviously that affects your gaming life, and I think something that we touched upon was, as the Gamers Haven, you know, kind of talking about gaming, your gaming life, and how as you get older, it affects you, how it changes as time goes on. So we're trying to kind of grow up and, you know, just kind of discuss some of the topics we'll probably discuss as time goes on are similar to some of the things we've discussed before, but, you know, from a different point of view. We're older. Some of us are grayer.
I am. You guys are.
Some of us are just naturally beautiful.
Yes. There is that. But
sadly, Jeremy no longer has epic beard.
Yeah, I don't have I don't have the epic beard.
He's Jeremy and not Brother Jeremiah.
Yeah, I am no longer Jeremiah of the Mountain. What are some of the things that we're kind of thinking about doing with the Reloaded show?
I think we want to sort of expand on us being a gamer's haven, you know? Do more stuff with video games and other games of the tabletop variety, whether role-playing, board game, card game, all that. I know we've touched a bit on some video game stuff, but we managed to have Nathan here, who's very much into the video game atmosphere or universe. So is Noah, who is, you know, again, currently dressed up as a baby somewhere else.
Keep in mind, no hair.
With no hair, yes. Now Nathan has hair, so he's one up there. Definitely the hair is a definite bonus. I think what we're trying to do, and if you visit the website once this launches, there are some new additions and a little bit of a facelift on the site. We're going to have forums back. We're going to have a chat system, so you can actually chat, go there and chat with other people for Gamers Haven. And we're also going to be trying to live up a bit to, I guess, my journalism degree and have some news on there for the tabletop and video game universe that sort of aggregates on our site, so to sort of make it a more of a central location or a hub for various things. Did I miss anything?
And, well, we also talked about... Yeah, go ahead, Nathan. Oh,
go ahead. I was going to say, I don't think so.
No, but we talked about also the possibility of a GM and or a player kind of talks and greetings and maybe not necessarily a class, but you know, trying to do some possible shows where maybe we can invite a couple people on the show and talk to individuals about GMing. Talk to some people about being a player. I think I can't remember. One of you had a really great name for the GM session. I should have written it down. I didn't. Not the GM smurfing session, but probably something better than that. But just like some sort of advice session to help GMs, maybe younger GMs or new GMs, with how to GM, or maybe stories and some of the things we've done or things we'd like to do to just help people GM. Things like that, and maybe a few things on YouTube every once in a while. That's kind of a new thing for us.
I think we can look into doing some audio dramas at some point, you know, and do some fun stuff like old style radio play type of things, just more our speed.
I think that would be a lot of fun, actually.
Oh, yeah. And we can get our significant others and friends involved.
With people like John Hook, you know, capable of writing, you know, incredible adventures and such for games like Call of Cthulhu, mm-hmm. we might be able to get him to write some sort of specific short story specifically for an audio drama.
Yeah,
we could really cheese that up too.
Essentially, we're wanting to inform and entertain you, the gamer.
Right. Yes. Also, a game, an actual couple of games on here. Nothing too serious. Try to get a game going with a few individuals once in a while. Take some turns, GMing a couple of different games, whatever, you know, whatever floats our you know, current fancy at the time. And just have some fun. I kind of like how, you know, podcasting is still kind of the radio. We're not very much yet into the video aspect. I don't think we're really wanting to do a lot of that, but we can use YouTube if need be for I think we used it in the past a couple of times.
We video streamed, we streamed a lot of our recording sessions, which I think we're going to start doing again as soon as we're set up and able. I'm actually now, because I moved and actually, because I moved, I'm now on, we're now on the waiting list for being hooked up for Google Fiber. Right now we're stuck with Time Warner's awful upstream, but when we get the Google Fiber, we'll be much, much better equipped to do video streaming and streaming our recording sessions.
They're opening the sign up list for Google Fiber in Olathe next week.
Awesome! I'm glad they finally at least that sorted out with Olathe.
That was a long story behind that, which is hilarious. I'll tell you about it sometime.
Yes.
Well, and also just on the site itself, we've got, you know, I don't do it very often, but, you know, the occasional blog, which is in the attic. I kind of like to, you know, put some of my game on there. Nathan, you know, if you ever wanted to just throw something up there,
I would like to, but my writing skills are so atrocious. I have to, like, basically write everything out before I actually post anything and have it edited, because otherwise the wording goes wrong and everything else.
Have you read any of the crap I put on there? I just put it up there.
I haven't read a lot of anything lately. I've been busy. For those of you guys that don't know, I'm also co-hosting, I guess that's the term for it, a show with a gentleman by the name of Matt Barton, who does Matt Chat, which is a really cool channel on YouTube that deals with computer games and the creators that made the games.
Uh-huh.
And I've been doing a podcast with him. I don't know if I'd call it a co-host. I'm just someone that talks on the show with him.
That would be a co-host.
I've been doing that for several months now, two or three. It's been really good. Next week, we're going to be recording next Friday, and it's a show that's specifically for his Patreon people. And people that are part of his Patreon group will get to see an interview with Jane Jensen, the little woman who created Gabriel Knight for Sierra.
Nice.
Yeah, I get to talk to her, and you know, that was one of my favorite games when I was around that age, 94, 14, 15. So it's kind of exciting. Last week, I got to talk to Clint Basinger, the guy who does Lazy Game Reviews,
mm-hmm.
who was the reason why I created a YouTube account so I could subscribe to his channel. And that was really cool. He's a really cool guy. So I'm doing a lot with video games, with people that are really into video games. I keep being told I need to start my own show. I'm supposed to do a show called Patch This Broken Game, but I'm a little camera shy, so I don't know how that's going to go, because I kind of feel uncomfortable with the idea of being in front of a camera.
Shave all your hair off and wear a baby costume.
Yeah, dress up like a baby.
Well, at the rate that I'm going with stress thanks to my student loans, I'll be bald by Halloween anyways.
Well, there you go. You'll have your costume already.
So you won't have to shave your head.
No.
Yeah.
I'm not shaving my eyebrows. I'm not going to be the Terminator.
You could just shave the eyebrows and leave everything else. Or shave one eyebrow.
Yes.
Then they just...
Then you're different. Or you could just do the whole thing in clown makeup. We're helping.
Yeah.
So I guess the things we're trying to, you know, we're basically just trying to get some of our our ideas and goals out there for the Reloaded show. We've kind of been off the wagon for a little while. Over three months here, and we're gonna try to get back on there and provide a good show for everyone. Try some different things.
And we want to build, build some interactivity into the show a little bit. If we start streaming our recordings, maybe we can actually start taking call-ins and be all super snazzy like that.
I really like the idea of some radio show items. I think that would be funny, actually. So if we can do that, some just cheesy lines and some funny lines. That does sound really fun.
We'll see. I think
we do have quite a few things that we can do. So as I'm talking here, I'm also going through RPG Now, which we all know how RPG Now is both awesome and filled with crap.
Yes.
But the RPG Now, some of the stuff that's coming up is hilarious. So, that's something else that hopefully in the future we can kind of, maybe talk about it's the Gamer's Haven podcast, whether it's a game, whether it's just game material, whatever, something that we can ponder like that, depending on which direction we go with the show. Mm-hmm. But there's so much awesome stuff out there. So, anyway,
there are a lot of things that we can talk about. There's systems that each of us have individual systems that we really like that we've never really talked about. I mean, I love the Hollow Earth Expedition system. I don't know the exact name of the system, if it's a generic system that's been applied to the setting or not, because it's very simplistic to implement. Basically, it's even or odds. So, you've got a 50-50 chance of success. And, there's, all the different things that are coming out that we can talk about. I mean, there's a lot of stuff going on right now across gaming as a whole. I mean, you've got the new current generation of consoles that have come out last year that have a lot of stuff going on that people are talking about. Yeah. And making big deals about. I mean, Dungeons and Dragons, the new edition of Dungeons and Dragons came out in August. And not all the books are out yet, but they're coming out. They've got Kickstarters for a cool new Conan board game. There's a Kickstarter out for Chill, third edition. There was a Kickstarter for Feng Shui 2. And as far as I know, that one actually met its goal, right?
Oh, yeah, it met its goal on the first day.
Yeah. So, there's all sorts of great things. And Chill is one of those ones, if you like Call of Cthulhu, but you like the whole idea of the Hammer Company's horror movie type monsters, Chill is a really good setting for that. It's almost perfect for it, actually. Which is one of those things. It was one of those games that kind of got killed by Dungeons and Dragons because the company got sued and lost in court. Regarding role-playing games. So they stopped publishing role-playing games. I think it was Mayfair Games. I don't know. I don't have my book with me.
I remember when that happened. It was over their Roll-Aids line, yeah.
Yeah. But because of it, they actually had to drop all of their role-playing games.
Yes.
So they stopped making them completely, which was really sad because the Chill system was really interesting. And there's not a lot of horror role-playing games that I know of. I mean, there's Call of Cthulhu, there's Trail of Cthulhu, there's Chill, there's that Zeitgeist, which I didn't really care for the system, but I really liked the setting. But there's not a massive amount. It's not as prevalent as science fiction or fantasy or superheroes. So any additional systems in that setting to allow for more horror-based genre games, I think would be a welcome addition. And on top of that, since it deals more with the classical horror monster horror monsters, it allows for a different kind of pace to, say, Call of Cthulhu, where you're dealing with horrible, undescribable, you know, ephemeral beings from beyond the universe.
With tentacles.
Oh, with lots of tentacles. The Japanese love that for some reason. It just creeps me out.
But for entirely different reasons than Lovecraft did.
Yeah. I honestly, I don't know on that. They may have gotten the idea of tentacles being those horrible, malevolent forces from Call of Cthulhu, because I've actually seen several Japanese movies that were actually dealing with the Cthulhu mythos, which shocked the living daylights out of me. And had lots of nasty tentacle beasts and insane, and people going insane and stuff.
Tentacles are pretty horrifying. I mean, critters with tentacles normally bother people at least a bit.
Rightly, they should.
Yeah,
I think it has to do with the fact that it does not follow the rigid structure that we expect for limbs. So, because it can move in various different directions, and it move rather quickly because it's just a sinuous mass of muscle, it really bothers us.
Yeah.
It's alien. And if it's alien, we're terrified of it.
We've already done our normal thing where we've gone off on a tangent. It's awesome.
So we're new, but yes. We're new and different, yes. Very, very the same.
Yes.
So much same. So,
but there's all sorts of great news to talk about across the entire gaming industry, not just role-playing games or board games and video games, but the whole gaming industry as a whole. I mean, we've got all sorts of different products coming out. There's stuff that I am absolutely fascinated with that I never thought I would be, that I want to check out.
Let's talk about that. Let's kind of go into, instead of splitting off into a three-parter per se, let's jump into kind of your specific, the video games, some of the things that you talked about briefly.
One of the things that we have available to us is we have an amazing release of a lot of classic style computer role-playing games. I mean, just, I believe it was 2 months ago in July, the end of July, we got Divinity Original Sin, which is an amazing Baldur's Gate style, classical style RPG, with two characters. You play with two characters, and I believe we can increase your party size as you play. I didn't get a chance to play very long. Unfortunately, because I'm not working, I don't have any money to go buy these games, so I only get to play them from friends that have them that let me play them when they come over on their laptops. But it was fantastically fun for the little bit I played, and it's got an interesting setting with there being sorcery with S-O-U-R, and how that magic is actually corrupting the earth, and then there's other magic, which is under a different name, which is interesting, which goes with the whole divine divinity world, which is it actually is a long-running series, apparently. I've never played any of them, but I really liked what I played of Divinity Original Sin. It looked really fun. It played well. It had an interesting idea or premise for the story. And I'd like to play more, but, you know, $40 is $40, and I don't have it. The next one I got a chance to check out was Wasteland 2. Yes. And if you remember correctly, I was talking about that back when I had a friend that got the alpha because they kickstarted it really, really a large amount. And I said it was the Fallout 3 we all wanted. It's actually better than what I would have expected for Fallout 3. The setting is fantastic. And that one I got to play for a couple hours, actually. And it's amazing. All the characters that you had that you played in the first one, the pre-generated characters, show up in some shape or form in Wasteland 2. It takes place several, like multiple years later. And one of the people in the party, he's now the leader of the Rangers. One of the other guys got horribly wounded at the end of the first one, and now he's just like the historian for them. And then one of them got killed, and the other one joins your team in the beginning to help you find who murdered the other guy because he was her best friend. It's very well done, and ammunition is scarce, so you have to be really careful. You really need to pick and choose your fights because, it goes south really quick. It's old school. You miss a shot, and the next thing you know, your guy's bleeding to death on the ground because the monster just pummeled you to death. And it's kind of scary for those who've never played an old one, because there are combinations of characters and skill sets that you can't win the game. You have to reroll your characters to continue, which is a very daunting idea that the game can become unwinnable because of your choices. So you have to think before you make a decision. And the other one, which I've been playing lately, which is just absolutely amazing, in my opinion, is I've been playing Alien Isolation, which is fantastic and terrifying and great story, and just it's like nails on a chalkboard at times. It's so tense. It literally makes you sweat while you play. And you know it's a game, but it's still, I mean, there are moments that are so tense, like the alien came out of a vent and there was nowhere for me to hide. So I creeped behind some boxes in a corner between a door and a wall, and it walked by me and didn't see me. It made its way to another vent and climbed up in the vent. You talk about needing to change your undergarments after that. Man alive.
Is this a first person? It's like an FPS? Or?
Yeah. No, it's not a shooter. Okay. It has shooting elements to it, but it's a survival horror game.
Oh, nice.
You play as Amanda Ripley, and you're not strong. Well, you're not super strong. You can't take a lot of hits. Your health doesn't regenerate. And if an alien finds you, you're dead, sort of thing. And so you're being tracked by this thing. And the AI on it is so smart. Tactics you use in earlier areas, it learns from those tactics. Well, this is what they say. And you can't use those tactics as you progress. So you have to constantly switch up your tactics to stay ahead of the alien. And for that reason, it's gotten some flack because people think it's bad programming. But the AI in this thing is absolutely amazing because you can see the thing. It looks like it's thinking, the xenomorph. And it knows when you're somewhere nearby, but it can't find you because it slows down and starts scanning the entire area, waiting for you to make a mistake. And you have to be careful because if you're like in, say, a locker and it gets close to the locker, your character starts to panic and their breathing speeds up and stuff. So you've got to, you know, push yourself back in the locker to get away from it so that you don't hear you, because any sounds that are loud, they can hear. So, and that includes, you run into humans and these awful androids that want to kill you and everything else. It's very, very well done. After Colonial Marines, it's the kind of game that most alien fans will be extremely happy to see. Mm-hmm. But it is tense, and with all the stress I'm under, and with all the medication I'm on, I can't play it very long before I start to have problems. It starts to like make me panic, so I have to turn it off. But thankfully, there's lots of safe places.
That's good. And they kind of screwed the pooch on Colonial Marines, as far as I understand it.
Yeah.
Or as Angry Joe put it, they messed it up, except in his colorful way.
Yeah. For anybody who wants to know how bad Aliens Colonial Marines is, just go to YouTube and look up Angry Joe Show and look up his Colonial Marines review.
Yes, it's hysterical and informative.
And very informative. I did get a chance to play Destiny. I enjoyed it. I was kind of trying to figure out why it was getting so much flack from the industry. It is repetitive, but considering it's basically a mixture of an MMO and a first-person shooter, kind of like Borderlands, with like the loot and run stuff,
mm-hmm.
I didn't have super high expectations going into it. No, I expected it would be kind of like Borderlands with Halo, and mm-hmm. I got more than that, so I was happy. And I've also been playing Forza Horizon 2, which is a racing game, and I usually don't like racing games, but this one is amazing. It's absolutely gorgeous. It's just everything is just beautiful. I got to drive a Pagani Zonda R.
Which game is this?
This is Forza Horizon 2. It's a racing game.
Forza Horizon 2.
Like a free roam racing game? Yeah, it's an Xbox One and Xbox 360 game. I got to drive a Koenigsegg.
Nice.
And I got to drive it through a speed trap. And the goal was to get to a certain location as fast as you could. And I was driving, at that time, I had a 69 Camaro Super Sport. Very nice car, you know, very loud engine. Not very big engine, 384 cubic inches. But a classic, right? And I was hitting speed traps as fast as I could. I was getting like 125 miles an hour, because that's about as far as you want to peg one of those. I hit a speed trap in the Koenigsegg, and it was like 213 miles an hour.
Yeah.
I was doing Jeremy Clarkson. I was like, speed!
Power!
It was scary. It was absolutely scary. It makes me really think that I never ever want to be a host on Top Gear. But it's beautiful, and if you have a curiosity about racing games, it's less brutal than most of like the heavily simulated ones are, like Gran Turismo and stuff like that. And it's you're around Nice, you're in Spain somewhere, I think, near the island. You're on an island, I know that much, and you do spend some time in the city of Nice, and it's just gorgeous. You know, beautiful cliff sides with, you know, beautiful ocean and wonderful fields and lots of places to drive. So I liked it. The controls? Well, the Xbox One controller is incredible. That's one of the reasons why I bought an Xbox One, is the controller is much more comfortable to me than the PlayStation 4 was. And it has so many varying levels of how the vibration works. There are times when you like hit a gravel road, it really feels like how your steering wheel jerks in your hands when you're going a little too fast on gravel. It gives you that sensation.
Nice.
And it you know, you hit things and the controller goes AWOL, and when you lay down, you know, when you peel out rubber, the actual triggers have independent motors in them. So you have what's called independent force feedback on the triggers. So when you slam on the gas, you really feel it kick, like the engine spinning. And when you slam on the brakes, you can feel it feels like those tires are skidding. It's very, very nice. It's very, very interesting feeling. And I really like the Xbox One controller. A lot of people don't, but I do. And it was kind of a surprise to me because I didn't expect to. But I just, when we went to go, we were going to pick up a PlayStation 4 or an Xbox One, and I got a fantastic deal on the Xbox One, and I like the controller better, so I went with that. And I haven't regretted my choice. I love the voice commands, which is kind of surprising because I figured I would hate that. When they work great.
Yeah, when they work, yeah.
Yeah. Sometimes you have to yell at it, Xbox, on! Xbox! Hello! Hello, computer!
Well, see,
hello!
I just remember watching movies at your place with the old Xbox, and the Xbox turned on. You just randomly say something, and it would turn off or change. I hope they've improved that.
But it does still do that.
It's kind of funny.
Watching TV, and there was a commercial for the Xbox One, and the guy's like, Xbox on, and the Xbox came on. I was like, whoops.
That's awesome. Well, excellent. That's pretty sweet. All right. Well, Ethan, how about you? I mean, you've got the Feng Shui Kickstarter, and
yeah.
What else?
I haven't actually been able to do much gaming in the last several months, other than obviously CampCon, which was the CampCon of lower bodily injuries. Apparently, yeah. John, a friend of ours, John Hook, couldn't make it to the con this year because he had a bad infection in his leg. Jeremy, you decided to bruise your shin bone, and I managed to get an infection in my foot and have to go to the hospital on Sunday night and stay overnight for the first time in 34 years.
And I got horribly, horribly sick and ended up having to leave.
Yeah.
And spent like 4 days in bed afterwards.
Yeah, there was the con crud that went around. It was the first year that CanCon was in the Overland Park Convention Center, and other than those little hiccups, everything went splendidly as far as I know. So
it was amazingly smooth. I think it's the smoothest we've had in quite some time.
Yes, it's the first CanCon that I haven't closed it down. So I was elsewhere, and everything got shut down, and nothing caught fire, and everyone seemed to have a relatively good time.
There were a couple game systems people wanted to see more of. I mean, I didn't run anything, and John wasn't there, so there weren't. I don't think there were any Call of Cthulhu games.
Yeah, I think there were a few that were sort of around there, but nothing huge, unfortunately. But we do our best.
I didn't feel up to running anything. I wasn't feeling well going into the con because by that point I had already been bitten by the tick and was already starting to the incubation period had passed, and I was already starting to feel the effects of the Lyme disease by that point.
Yay!
Yeah.
Other than CanCon going off, I think I've run my Justice City game once since then. I hope to get it back up and running soon. We're going to have to unearth enough space for a table here first. But beyond that, the Jeremy mentioned it, the Feng Shui Kickstarter is what I've recently been able to put a little bit of money into. So there is that.
With that Kickstarter, with Feng Shui Kickstarter, what changes do you know they've done?
Part of the Kickstarter, if you actually get into it, is you get a copy of you get access to the beta rules, the playtest rules, and I have had a chance to look through it a little bit, and a couple of the archetypes are gone. It seems they're sort of moving away from a real variable damage system to a sort of a set damage system where, you know, you have guns do their damage and, you know, a punch and a kick does their damage. They really streamlined the stats. So instead of having four main stats with three or four substats, it's now just like five or six main stats and you're done. It's still feng shui. It still has the craziness and the running on bullets difficulty. So predominantly the system is not changing. It's just a big update and some and a few sort of tweaks to the rule set. I think mainly what it is, it's a big update to the book because the original was written back in or first published back in 1996. So almost 20 years ago, which kind of blows my mind, but the new one is going to have updated timeline from the game's setting. In the old setting, the future is controlled by the architects of the flesh, or called the Burrow, and in this new edition, they've been defeated by the Jammers and the Simian Army. That's right, I said Simian Army. So you have cybernetic apes who have taken care of that juncture rather effectively. You still have the four main junctures: the ancient China, mid 19th century China, and then modern day, and then the future. They are adding a bunch of extras onto it as they hit these stretch goals for the setting called pop-up junctures, which are basically just new time periods that they've put in. They've added several since they started. Shanghai 1937, which is sort of like the mid 30s gangster, the, you know, Chinese gangster movies. Barbarian Borderlands, which is basically the Manchurian barbarians, the time of Genghis Khan, that sort of thing. Red Mars, which for all intents and purposes is essentially along the lines of John Carter for Feng Shui. Not exactly, obviously. It's the far future where terraform Mars or settle or battle for survival against resurgent aliens. They added Samurai Dawn, so feudal Japan. is going to be a juncture they're going to have. Musketeers, so that that sort of that musketeer era, mid 16th century France. Kaiju Patrol is something they just added, for which is essentially just a Pacific Rim, but with feng shui rules. So that should be entertaining. They have one more that they've just added. I think they just hit that goal. let's see. No, Kaiju Patrol was the last one. They do have, oh wait, no, here it is. Zodiac Summer, 1969, which is kind of Dirty Harry era San Francisco. So they're adding a lot of different things to it, and there's a lot of that they're getting into. They're getting a lot of essays about various films from Robin Laws, who's got the rule set, who's got this all done. He's adding in essays on called Blowing Up the Movies. I think they're almost up to the fourth one, but they've got five in there. With Blowing Up the Movies, they have, let's see, he's going to do essays on The Killer, Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon, Once Upon a Time in China, Savior for the Soul. The second part, he's doing Big Trouble in Little China and The Road Warrior. And the third one, he gets Hard Boiled and Hero. With the added one, if they hit the next one, he gets Rumble in the Bronx and Mission. They hit the final goal, it's Detective D and the Mystery of the Phantom Flame and The Matrix. And that's all stuff that you get for free. If you donate more than $10 to the Kickstarter, which ends in about a week from today, it funds on October 17th. So Friday, October 17th. So it actually, when this goes out, it will be yesterday was when it funded. It's very cool. I'm happy to see a new edition of Feng Shui coming out. I have all of the old books. I'm interested to see all of the different changes they're doing, and I'm curious to see how they're gonna why some of the archetypes that I know and love are gone, and new ones have popped up in their place, and see sort of how they want to handle or how they handle the system with different jumps in different sort of evolutions of RPG game systems in the last 20 years, especially things like Fate and Savage Worlds, I'm sure have to have some sort of an influence on what they're doing. So it looks pretty cool, and apparently I won't get the print edition isn't due out until the middle of next year. So I've got a long time to wait.
I mean, the wait kind of is annoying, but
yeah,
that means it's going to be pretty cool.
I'll get the PDF as soon as it comes out, so there's at least that. It will tide me over.
Right. All right. That's well. Just to touch upon, most people know that 5e is out at this point. The Player's Handbook is already out, as is the Monster Manual. Both of the books are beautiful. I have heard some people have had some issues where books have been coming apart on them, things like that. My book is fine. I haven't had any issues with it. I have been told that the Monster Manual has a lot of editing issues. I haven't, as of yet, found that in the Player's Handbook, but there could be some. I really, really like the Player's Handbook, and the pieces I've seen of the Monster Manual, it is very nice. But with those two books, or with the player's handbook and the free stuff you can get, you could run a pretty much a full game. All of the classes so far are fun. I'm having a blast playing a druid as of late in my Thursday game. And I am expecting very good things from them. They're taking their time. They seem to be letting certain companies do official things. But so far, a couple of companies have put out one or two, like Necromancer Games has done a few things that are 5e. And I don't know if they just got permission or they're just doing it on the OGL.
Mm-hmm.
Because they have the OGL printed, you know, within it. So I just don't know. But there are specific companies, specific writers that are being, you know, given permission to write certain adventures. And it's turning out really well. If you visit the WotC site, you get an idea of what their books are going to be. And it kind of looks like a lot of their, what you might call splat books, seem to actually be more around large adventure paths.
Mm-hmm.
So
that really doesn't surprise, that doesn't surprise me with the success that Pathfinder's had. They've had a lot of success with Pathfinder since the Pathfinder paths, and that's pretty much that's what people want. So,
I'm curious with the success that Pathfinder has received or reached. Do you think they're going to release a revised edition anytime soon?
I don't know. They keep sort of adding additional books. Like, I think they're putting out the Monster Codex. It's either out or coming out very soon, and they haven't made mention of a revised edition yet. I would guess that it's coming rather than that. I think it would be... I would not be surprised if they announced at least a revision soon.
Yeah, I just don't...
Hi, sweetie.
I don't know. They probably will, or something.
Okay.
It's just... I know with the 5th edition, it looks like they're going to release... Like, the next one is an Elemental Adventure, and then probably the Elemental stuff that you can get, it looks like it's coming with the book. And... Let's see. Releases. So basically, release schedule. So like, it looks like they are following somewhat of the Pathfinder, how Pathfinder did it, but they are at least doing their own stuff. I mean, it is definitely D&D. Like in November, November 19th, you're going to have the Dungeon Master Guide, which the Dungeon Master Guide sounds like it's going to have a lot of fun stuff. It's going to have all the additional rules in it. So I'm really, really looking forward to that. I think that's the book that's going to just allow people to really modify their games as they want. The first like huge adventure path, The Rise of Tiamat, October 21st, 96 pages. The deluxe DM screen, January 20th.
So it seems they're not really rushing things out the door. I know for that they're really trying to hit a book a month.
No, they are not rushing things. Gale Force is doing miniatures, like mm-hmm. specific miniatures, spell cards. Now they're expensive as all heck.
Yeah, and they're also... WizKids is good. I think it's WizKids. Yeah, I think WizKids is doing the pre-painted miniatures line.
They're doing the pre-painted minis, but Gale Force's miniatures are like specific sets.
Uh-huh.
And they're sweet, actually. So you notice they're kind of they're using specific companies, which is good. And their actual computer, the digital tool, that was codename Morningstar, Dungeonscape, is looking pretty cool, except at least in the playtest version, it doesn't appear to have a print function, which worries me. It may be one of those things that all you can do is play it from a tablet.
Mm-hmm.
But you can make characters so stinking quick on it. And it's a beautiful tool. It really is. So it's looking like it may be an actual tool that will exist. Unlike some of the tools that they tried to create in the past and then never happened. Which is neat. So I think this is going to be, it's going to be interesting. Now with Pathfinder, I don't know. I don't follow them very much other than I occasionally look at some of their PDFs. They have neat stuff. They could very well release an update. I just don't know. They probably will do something. I can't see them not.
Yeah. They're going to do what Wizards of the Coast did at some point, is they're going to pretty much put out all the splat books that they can, and then they have nothing left to do but revise, you know, but put out a new system.
Well, right. And, I mean, they have their mythic line.
Yeah.
Which is basically...
it's their epic level stuff.
Yeah. It's their huge, powerful stuff. But who knows?
Yeah.
Who knows? They'll pull something crazy out. I was trying to find... Yeah, I can't find it currently. Maybe you can find it on the site later. But anyway, that's what we've got. Unless anyone has anything else they would like to add.
All right. I think that's a good place to start with our reloaded reboot, as you said. And we're endeavoring to get new shows out about every 2 weeks. So I think that's our promise. That's our vow at this point. And we will endeavor to do that.
That's the goal.
That's the goal. So, and we're looking to have some fun and try some different things, and we'll do whatever we need. You know, the show may not be the same format all the time either.
Yeah.
We may throw something crazy out, and that's fine. So I just want to say thank you, everyone. And those of you who listen to us, we appreciate all your support, and we hope to talk to you all soon. Yes.
Definitely.
This concludes the broadcast from World Control.